There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. So we are just about at episode 80. Can you believe that?
Yeah, this is it. So
it is episode 80. So we are, when we come up to 100 episodes, we got to do something pretty special.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe a trip or do something more exotic. So
if our listeners have any ideas, feel free to email us, text us. We love to hear as we plan out our 100th episode. So today we're actually going to be talking about avoiding pitfalls and mistakes when managing rental property while still maximizing performance. So we're just about finalizing our last episode of the property management series. So we went through how to select the right rental property in our first episode and then how to properly screen your tenants. So today we'll be covering how to avoid pitfalls and mistakes when managing a rental property. So I guess we'll start off with Sean. What's the first take that you have there? You say avoiding and inspect what you expect, right?
Yeah. So, and I stole this from somebody, but so this isn't my slogan, but we've used it a lot in our company and I've repeated it over and over again, was inspect what you expect. Because I feel like with this comes to like anything in your business, this comes to managing contractors, but I also feel it comes to managing rental properties is you should always have an inspection schedule. And we've talked about this on other episodes and, I think a lot of people just rent the home and then when the lease is up, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe what they did in my house.
Right. Or they're surprised.
Yeah. Or every room's painted a different color or they tiled my whole home without asking, or they put a pool in in-ground pool or above ground pool or something, you know? And so you got to inspect, some kind of frequency that, and personally in our business, we did quarterly inspections for years. And then, we found out it was just a little bit too much.
Right?
A little too intrusive. So we went to a semi-annual inspection that's been going a lot better.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this before where owners, sometimes investors kind of think of property management as the afterthought, right? And so going into when they're hiring a property management company, that's one of the first things I mentioned is like, this is crucial. I have inspections on my properties. I recommend that you have them on yours as well, because number one, it allows us to go into the property to make sure, number one, the tenants are complying with their leases, right? And then also for preventative maintenance issues. I mean, things come up and not all the time the tenants are going to report that.
Right.
And so just like you said, inspect what you expect, and a small little leak underneath the sink that wasn't reported could ultimately be thousands of dollars down the road.
And replacing cabinets and mold and all sorts of issues.
And that alone can, hurt your return on investment when that little bit could have just preserved that.
Correct. And then, there's all sorts of stuff like smoke detectors and, tenants taking them down or they're not working. There's so many little things that liability-wise exposes you. And so you need to be in there at least every 6 months to make sure that, things are being kept up, things are complied with, and just for your own protection. And then secondly, the protection of the home. But you can use like a great third-party vendor, which is what we do. We did it in-house for years. And then there was a company called Onsite Pros. So shout out to Onsite Pros. So
yay,
I know they're big listeners.
Phil.
So Phil's a listener and the owner. But so I know he's not in every market, but he's in a lot of markets. And so that's a great alternative to having your home inspected.
Right. I mean, we used to have our runners do it, which they're not, true inspectors, obviously. And they could miss things. And with using Onsite, it's so much more transparent. mm-hmm. right? And they get 150 different photos of the property. Anything that major is wrong with it or recommendations on maybe you should repair or replace in the future type of thing. So
it's I've always said to our clients and stuff, it's like a home inspection report, you know, that you get when you purchase a home. It's that detailed and mm-hmm. that much info and that many photos. So every 6 months you get that detailed of a report. You would know exactly what's going on yeah. with your house without having to fly down and visit the property or set it. I know owners, even though they get the inspections, they still like to do that, which to me, it's like, if you're an out-of-state investor, just, you know, that's enough because you're getting in the home, you're seeing it, you got a good report, you know what's wrong with it, you know how the tenant's keeping up the lease. So, you know, when it comes renewal time, is it a smart time to renew or mm-hmm. should we maybe just let these tenants vacate so that, you know, because they're further destroying the home exactly. or not. So,
yeah.
or increase the deposits if you want to keep them in there and not replace them. Like, we've had a lot of, during this pandemic, we've had a ton of people that have, holdover?
Holdover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so where the owner will give them a notice, let them know that they had to move out in whatever, like 60 days when the lease ends. And we've had tenants that can't find a place, especially like in Albuquerque, yeah. some places, there's just shortage of rentals. They can't find a place or they can't get qualified at a new place. And all of a sudden they just hold over. They stay in your property even though you give them notice. So
right.
it's a big issue right now, but those things happen, so maybe you can keep them in there and just increase the deposit for renewal.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
To protect yourself. Mm-hmm. So some kind of third party, you can do it in-house. We just found that third party source doing it was more, was a better alternative for our clients and a better option for them. So
yes.
Another next step to avoiding pitfalls and mistakes is to clearly have defined processes and procedures. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what podcast it was, but we did go into this yes. in more detail. But
that's crucial, really, yeah. in any business. But really, when you're managing your properties, especially if you're wanting to scale, you have a portfolio and you want to scale. And then, you know, if you're a property management company and you're scaling, like you have to have clearly defined processes and procedures, because if not, do not deviate from them, because the minute that you deviate from them, then you're just causing trouble for your team. And then we're going to fail. You're going to fail, right?
Yeah. And when this we do is, that. And this is for if you self-manage, you small little portfolio, you
yes.
manage a large portfolio, or you run a property management company. At all levels, you should have clearly defined processes for how you're going to screen your tenants, how you're going to market it first, then screen them. You know, what's your process for your lease, how you're going to handle your maintenance, how you're going to
make ready process.
Yeah, all those need to be defined so that, and maybe you just hire a new employee. Maybe you got to where you have 10 or 20 units and you want to start managing mm-hmm. them and having a remote team member, or you want to have a employee at that time to take it over. You're going to need to have clearly defined processes, and so they can step in and execute and know
right.
what to do. And they know, okay, if the tenant says this, here's what I
exactly.
my response, or yeah. here's what I should do. And this is something that I think is an evolution. So, you know, we've been in business now 21 years, but
things change.
In our management company, it's been 11. And we've had a clearly defined operations manual. And it seems like it just constantly gets reworked. And
it
today
does.
We even have brought in a specialist to go and sit down with every department. He
and
does,
map it all out yeah. to make sure that, you know, we're not to fill in the holes.
Correct.
Right.
And know and make sure that the team's doing what we originally mm-hmm. planned. And then we're putting all that into a software where it's, again, an operations manual. But now before it was all like on PDF and Word docs and all this. Now the new one's on a software where we can search it. So we can, if you want to say like, I don't know, lease renewals, it'll bring you to the sections on just lease renewals. Mm-hmm. So you can scan through that process and all that. So we're getting better at it, and we're adding pictures and flow charts
right.
and all that, but it's an evolution.
Exactly. And, yeah, it is. And going back to not deviating from your processes, I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit, because like it's easy to do that, especially if you know, say you have an owner that you want to accommodate because it's 30 doors and I can bring in 30 doors, you know, right? And it's just easier to accommodate whatever request they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that once you do that, then you're just opening yourself up for mistakes. I'll give you an example. We had one recently where, you know, messed up our rekey process because the owner investor wanted to save a little bit of money, right? Mm-hmm. And long story short, she rekeyed it and the keys went missing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we didn't have one on file. There was not one in the lockbox. And now we have to rekey all the units. So it just costed the investor more money just because she didn't allow us to do our processes. Right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's always worked out like that. And it doesn't matter what we tell them. And like, if they have they're adamant and we accept the account, number one, our business development people probably shouldn't accept those accounts and they should hold firm at the beginning. But I know it's like sales. You want to bring in doors and you want to grow. But the larger you grow, the more deviations you have within how mm-hmm. you run your business, it just creates a nightmare. Yeah. And it causes so many problems. Like if we deviate, like this owner has this and this owner has this. And even if you have notes in the system,
your team is afraid to make decisions because they're not sure if I approve this, am I going to get in trouble? Is the owner going to get mad?
Or you're asking your team to go and research every single time mm-hmm. they make a decision on did the owner want me to do the make ready or maintenance, or does the owner want me to use somebody special? It's like it just clogs everything. So we've slowly over time started to get rid of those owners
right.
and just keep the people that, hey, trust us as the leaders and experts mm-hmm. and let us do our processes and procedures and take over from there. So right. that's a good point. Yeah. So the bigger you grow, the more they have to be defined and the more you have to stay within yes. in your processes and using your processes, or else it's going to create a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy when you're small, but very hard when you get big. I thought a good one for people that are managing that I don't think people do enough is they don't look at their leases.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that self-manage, they'll go to like Office Max and just get like or something off. Now that they used to do that. Now everything's online. So you can just go get a lease online, but they don't realize like, a lease is not
right. Yeah. And Texas Real Estate Commission, they do have a pretty strong lease. But even at that, like we add so much more to our leases, you know, to protect not only the owner but the property manager and also the tenant.
Yeah. And so you got to really look at your lease, have it go through it a couple times, make sure you're protecting yourself. We've added addendums to our leases that go over the move out and move in procedures. Mm-hmm. So like what to, so number one, they got to fill out their move in condition form when they move in. And then we have a process for going over that with them and making sure that at the move in time, what they saw and what their expectations are the same as ours
right.
are aligned.
Yeah.
And then also the other thing is the move out process. So they know upfront when they move into their house, they know what's going to be expected of them when they move out. Now, they might not read it.
Yeah, and
they
I was going to say, well, and that's the thing is that most are going to say, well, they don't read it anyway, right? And mm-hmm. and most are not going to, but something that we do is every tenant that moves into one of our properties, we're actually sitting with them and we're actually going through the lease with them mm-hmm. and to the, when they move out, what's expected of them line by line, what they have to do, right?
But and the importance of all this is because when we're going to manage the investment property and manage the resident, you're going to be held to the terms of the lease.
Yes.
Like your power, your strength is all in the mm-hmm. lease. And so that's why we're making it such a big importance. And so, and we've taught our team, this is like, you know, don't take emotions out of it. Cause that's the biggest thing is like, we'll get calls and they're screaming and yelling at us. And there's so much emotion and your tendency is to like get emotional with it because they're yelling at you. It's something you didn't have anything to do with, but they're yelling at you because you coordinate maintenance. And
like so, yesterday, one of the tenants wanted us, their fridge ran out and they wanted us to replace all the meat in their fridge because, you know, and so one of our staff members is like, what do we do?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's not in the lease that we're going to replace their food if their fridge goes out.
So you hold it to the lease. So, I mean, that kind of stuff happens like constantly. Those kind of, you know, when they want, you know, the air conditioner goes out. I know it's hot mm-hmm. in Houston. I know it's 100 degrees outside. We have a certain period of time per the lease to get that
right.
repaired. So we're not, yes, we're going to do our best. And we like those kind of issues we mm-hmm. usually take care of within 24 hours. But we have 7 days per the lease and per law to make those repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So your team, when they're getting those challenges, they always revert back to the lease. And and one of the biggest things we do in our training when we're onboarding a new employee is we sit down with them and we go through the entire lease agreement and show them, okay, you know, here's what you would say if they gave you this. You read verbatim the lease that they signed, saying, here, we understand you're frustrated. Here's what we are held to. And this is what the owners expect of us too, is that they want us to abide the lease agreement that we signed with this. And so sometimes it doesn't always work out, and there's usually one party that it doesn't always work out for or favors, but we are held as property managers to abide by that lease. Yes. And so you want to make sure that lease is very strong and it protects all parties, but it will protect you, and you have at least something to stand on when you're making an argument.
Yeah, so, I agree.
And then that falls into maintenance procedures, which we've talked about a little bit. You know, you really got to know who, how, when, by when something's going to be repaired.
You have to have clearly defined processes for that, because, I mean, you might go out there to fix the plumbing leak, but then that leak caused sheetrock damage. Okay, so, you know, what's your process now that the plumbing is fixed? You know, now you got to send a sheetrocker out there. Now you got to send a painter out there, you know, and so there's one step, you know, initiates another step. So,
and you got to have good software and you know, that's why even if you're self-managing, there's some really inexpensive management softwares out there. We use AppFolio in our management companies, but that's
who we like. Can even use a project management software like Asana or Zoho or, you know, something similar to really clearly define your processes.
And as you grow, we use, you know, companies like PropertyMeld and, you know, to coordinate maintenance. Mm-hmm. And there's other ones out there. Mm-hmm. There's even solutions out there that they'll handle all your work orders and they'll actually do the vendors. Now, it's, of course, you're paying a premium for that, but there are companies that will take your work order for you, coordinate the maintenance with their vendors. Of course, they make spread, they're a little more expensive, but if you totally want hands-off, there's some options for you out there.
And I know now that we're talking about maintenance procedures, this topic comes up a lot of having an in-house maintenance department versus an outsourced maintenance department, right? I mean, we've kind of done it both ways, and we found outsourcing worked better for us. And I think the reason why is, I mean, all of our outside vendors are licensed, insured, and bonded. So if, you know, they were to go to a property and they didn't fix it right, then we can just come back and get them to come back and redo it, right? Mm-hmm. Where if they're your employees, then who's eating that cost?
Yeah. So we had a lot of follow-up. We had downtime sometimes, and it just, you know, and then hourly. And so we were never successful at in-house maintenance, but I know some companies do it and do a great job.
Well, it's really another business itself because maintenance is a beast in its own.
It really is. I mean, the ones that I think have been successful have really started contractor companies, and then they outsource it to that company, and that company runs as a construction company, construction and maintenance, and that's how they've done it.
Yeah, so it's really what works well for you, and, you know, obviously having those clearly defined processes and procedures if you're going to in-house it.
And the next step with that is to protect yourself, is to document everything. I think to avoid pitfalls and mistakes and lawsuits, and if you are in a lawsuit, how to protect yourself, is to document everything. And so what we've done is we use a company called CompanyCam. It's very user-friendly for uploading photos and documenting photos. It's quick. It's on any mobile device. And so like our runners and our inspectors and all that, they use CompanyCam. So they're able to take photos quickly, even if they're just running to do, we check vacant properties weekly. And so they'll go out and they'll just, even just to document it that, because what happens, like you'd be shocked that one day you go to the property and it's fine. And the next day a pipe breaks and floods the whole home. And then the owner's screaming at you and you're like, no, we checked on it the day before. Yeah, and no, here's the photos.
Yes. I've actually had that save me a couple of times. Actually one, we had inspected it like a week before. And then the week later, there was a grow house in it. It got busted for a grow house. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, we were there just last week. There was no grow house.
There was no grow house. and they can set up shop that quick. So.
Yeah.
And that happens way before your electric bill spikes and all that. So, but it just protects you, you know, and you document it. It's a lot of it's also for insurance. So when you say that pipe busted the day after you visited it, well, and you might not go to the next week and you have a bunch of it damaged, well, at least you have documented proof of what, mm-hmm. what was it was like right. on a certain date. And then you can document all your yeah. damage.
And we do it from the very time that the takeover inspection, when we get the new owner account, right? Mm-hmm. We're doing it from that time on because also you want to see how you were given the property.
Correct. Because in case they hold you to something mm-hmm. Down the road. So same thing with residents. If you're self-managing, you want to document when you purchase the property so that when the tenant moves out, it's clearly, hey, I gave it to you in this condition. Yeah. This is what I left it in. So, because we're going to get mm-hmm. into that.
One of our team members actually reviews the move-in and condition form along with the takeover inspection to make sure that it all matches.
Right. And so make sure you have a clearly defined move-in process so that you're setting the expectations mm-hmm. up front with the resident, how they're going to keep up the house, when you're going to coordinate inspections with them, what's your inspection schedule, how you handle maintenance, and then also, hey, I gave you to the property in this condition. Mm-hmm. Here's my move-out process, so here's what I expect.
Right.
So, in our company, we require they have the home professionally cleaned by a third-party vendor and professionally carpet cleaned by a third party. They can't go rent a machine and clean the carpet. It has to be
they have to provide a receipt.
If not, if they don't provide it, we go and get it cleaned and it's taken off their security deposit. But this is all in the lease. This is all in an addendum. Mm-hmm. This is all part of it. So they know their expectations and right. and it protects us and protects the owner. Absolutely. The big issue, and I think the biggest threat, is going to be when a tenant moves out,
security deposit.
Yeah. And yes. That's our biggest loss number of lawsuits is because of security deposit mm-hmm. disputes. And if you manage enough property, that will be an issue mm-hmm. that you're going to have to fix and have a process for. So it's always a pain point. You got to be on it. You got to have a process for it. You're going to have a process that if they dispute their security deposit, damages that they were taken out of their deposit. Okay, how do you handle that mm-hmm. process? And we have a whole process that they have a form to fill out and photos to submit. So if they dispute what we sent them and the money that we took out of damages, and we document it, we have it clearly defined what was taken out, and it's line item by room by room. Mm-hmm. So they know exactly what they're being charged for. They have to show us proof for why they think that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and that's another good point you just brought out there is making sure the dispositions are line item by line item. I mean, from the paint to the floor, everything is, individual line items because that saved us too. There's no arguing there.
Yeah.
I mean, 80% of them that fill out the dispute forms, I mean, they can't argue because we're showing proof that, they damaged it.
Correct. It's going to be your biggest point. So there's another alternative to that would be there's alternative security deposit options. So much like apartments, there was always bonds and insurance that you could buy. There are now in residential companies that are offering security deposit like bonds or mm-hmm. insurance. So the tenant can buy a bond and that is usually the same amount as 1 month's rent or 2 months' rent, whatever your policy is for that. But they pay for that bond monthly, the tenant does. And so at the end, if there's a dispute, you still file it. The insurance company pays the owner for the damages and then they collect that from the resident. And
yeah.
It's a inexpensive way. It's a great alternative because a tenant can get in for a little bit less down than they say they don't have a full month's deposit to put up but they can buy a bond and it's $10 a month.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier for them to get in.
Especially very expensive properties,
So it makes your property more competitive if you offer those kind of solutions to the residents. Mm-hmm. So it's something to look into if you're not already doing that. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I think just steps to avoid and mistakes and something to look out for is just making sure you're properly insured.
Mm-hmm.
For everything. So,
well, you mean the liability insurance to the tenant's insurance, all of it.
Correct. So make sure the tenant has their own, make sure in your leases that you require the tenants to provide their own tenant insurance. If they don't, then you should have some
kind of place policy on them. Absolutely.
You are properly insured for the property and then you have liability coverage mm-hmm. that will protect you from mold claims to sheetrock falling on their head to These are all live. These are all things that we've had to deal with too. They slipped in the bathroom. To you know, just numerous cases that you will stories that they will come up with. So, just make sure you're properly protected and insured so that you have coverage. Mm-hmm. So, next we're going to transition real quick to
maximizing performance.
Yeah. So you're avoiding mistakes. You're avoiding pitfalls. Now, how can we maximize in this process our performance of our rental property? So we just gave a couple things that we do that I think, you know, can benefit you. So first one that a lot of people don't realize is you can make a, if you are doing security deposits, make a portion of that non-refundable and make it as like an administrative fee. Mm-hmm. Now I know depending on our listeners, every state is different.
Right.
Make sure you consult, make sure you consult with a real estate attorney. Make sure you know your laws for your states, because every state's different, mm-hmm. Every state allows different language in how they allow for this. So you have to make sure you use the right language when you're applying mm-hmm. this to their ledger. So, but use a portion of the, like, so if you do $1,200 rent or $1,200 security deposit, make $200 an admin fee for drafting a lease, setting up them in maintenance, and make $200 of it non-refundable admin fee, and then the $1,000 will be the security mm-hmm. deposit.
Yeah.
It increases your profitability up front and makes the
and again, clearly define it in your lease.
Correct. Everything needs to be in your lease. You know, look for non-refundable revenue items that you can put. So, you know, we make our pet deposits non-refundable. Mm-hmm.
Not all of it. Just 50% is non-refundable. And also pet rent, you know, pet fees.
Yeah. So make sure if they do have pets, you should mm-hmm. be charging pet rent on top of the regular rent plus the security deposit, mm-hmm. which 50% is non-refundable. Mm-hmm. What else?
We also have violation fees, you know, of tenants. Again, we have subdivisions and deed restrictions. And so if they're not complying with the deed restrictions, and, you know, we send them violation letters and we charge for that.
And is it in the lease?
Mm-hmm. It's in the lease. Yeah.
What one you can thing, charge, huh? Your fee's got to be in the lease. Yes. So if you're going to charge them a fee, or you're going to charge them, make sure that it is clearly defined in the lease. So,
yes. One other thing that we didn't talk about was I want to point out is like maintenance and preventative maintenance. So something that we rolled out was our residence benefits package, right? And so want to kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the residence benefits package includes it's a service that, number one, to make their experience a better experience, mm-hmm. but also at the same time for you as a
preventative maintenance
and a revenue source for you as a property manager or for you as an owner. But it includes filters that are drop shipped to their home. Mm-hmm. So you know, we have central HVAC systems here, and you know, the filters need to be replaced every 30 days.
Right.
And that's in
our lease, by the way. It's in our lease. Yeah. But the problem is that a lot of these tenants don't do it.
Correct.
I mean, we failed ourselves once too when we went out of town and came back and our AC line was frozen. But the point is,
because our filters were just as bad or just as dirty
I'm
as
like,
the.
Man, we just bomb that one. Yeah. But the point is that they get drop shipped to your door. And so it's kind of like a reminder and mindset thing, like, oh, like it's time for me to change my filters. Right. Mm-hmm. And you do that now. Like, you're like, oh, so, look,
well, cause we have, we set ourselves up for the system. And what was the company called?
Second Nature.
Yeah. So Second Nature is the one that provides us. So we signed ourselves up as clients, even for our personal home, just cause it's the convenience of having the air filter shipped to our house every month.
Right.
So something to look into, but it makes it's nice because it also comes with a date. So when those are shipped to the home, and when our home inspector does their semi-annual mm-hmm. inspection, there's a date on there. So we know if they're changing them, and they take pictures of that and put it in the report. So
we'll even take their dirty filter and put it on top of their counter like so with the note to change it next time.
But I mean, part of have that kind of program, and it and our benefits package is not an option.
You're having trouble speaking today. Optional.
Optional program. So it's something that they're required to be. If they're going to be a resident of ours, they're going to have to be a part of the program.
Right.
But it also, we made it cool too, where we added like they get their late fees waived 1 month. Mm-hmm. They get an extra key made if they mm-hmm. need keys made or extra house keys. what else is it? It includes it's the
like rewards program.
Yeah. So what is that?
So it's kind of like a perks program. So they get discounts to, you know, local food, dining, you know, groceries, whatever, and just an extra discounts for them.
To which save money, yeah, right? And I think it adds up to, if they were using it like proactively, mm-hmm. really, or actively, they would get about like $200 savings per month.
Right? Yeah, which is...
It's huge, yeah, for them. And so any other things that you think, any other programs or... that maybe we do.
No, I think that's great. I mean, these are all, you know, tips and tricks to help you maximize your performance at all levels. And, you know, again, just going back to making sure that
it's in the lease.
It's in the lease. And you have clearly defined processes and procedures for everything.
So the biggest takeaways, put everything in your lease, making sure it's in your lease and document and clearly define your process and procedures.
Document.
Yes. Sad that we came to that kind of conclusion, but that's what this is about, is avoiding pitfalls and mistakes and maximizing your performance. So these are things that can cripple your investment property. So
if you're just listening in, go back to the last two episodes where we talk about selecting a rental property and screening. There's some great stuff in there, whether you're self-managing or you have a portfolio or if you're a property management company.
So thank you guys. Please send us your feedback. We always love to hear about it. I got corrected on my back posture the other day that I need to work on my back posture. So I'm working on that and he's going to save my back.
Yes. Just,
so any feedback you have, we would appreciate it.
And review us. We would like that. So.
Yeah, please. It helps us share the message and gets us out to more people so that they can hear it. So we appreciate you and have a great week.
See you guys.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.